Well, the pressure SAA is under is becoming all too familiar, with the coronavirus impact having dealt a massive blow to businesses across the board. Looking at SMEs, 75% of small and micro businesses are projected to close down as lockdown continues. The KISB Fund in the meantime, and KISB, the word for life-saving buoys thrown into the water for drowning people to hold on to, is looking to extend a much-needed lifeline to businesses for them to stay afloat. Chair of the fund, Mark Barnes, joins us now with more of the detail. Mark, thanks so much for your time this evening. So you're heading up a fund hoping to raise as much as 5 billion rand, and that to support small businesses. What criteria is being used to determine which businesses really need the access to funding? Because I'm sure you'd be hard-pressed not to find an SME that needs assistance right now.
Good evening, Adisha, and everyone. Well, I think you answered the question. They're all out there. You know, I think it's the missing middle that we've all been talking about, you know, and so there are an extraordinary number of successful but little businesses who cannot get access to the right kind of capital, let alone the price. And so we would be looking to businesses with, you know, turnovers of, you know, 3 million plus. We'd be looking to lend money out. Maybe the smallest loan would be around 1 million. Maybe the biggest would be around 20, 25 million. We're looking to a 3 to 5 year time horizon. We're looking particularly to see how many people such an SME would employ, because we think that's a big impact on the balance sheet, on the human capital balance sheet and economic balance sheet of South Africa.
Okay.
So those are the those are the target companies.
Okay, so that's some of the criteria determining who's worthy, who's not. What it aims to do is address the lack of fairly priced funding solutions for SMEs in South Africa. But these solutions, this kind of support, Mark, has got to come at a price, considering the risk, with an economy projected to contract anything between 7 and 10% this year, if not more, and businesses across the board struggling to not get caught up in that downward spiral. So what's the access costing these businesses?
No, well, I think that there are two kinds of capital that we're looking to deploy. About 20% of the capital will be a quasi-equity kind of capital, which is obviously what you need in circumstances where your cash flows are not that predictable. And about 80% of it would be debt capital. Our debt capital, our senior debt capital, will come in 5, 6, 7% below where the competitive market is in micro-lending and those kinds of companies. So we're looking at an all-in cost. It's a prime-related number for the senior debt, probably of about 19.25%, whereas the range out there is 25 to 35+%. So that's that. But the real issue is you're also going to have a component of the capital, which is going to be a CPI running yield, which is 4.5%, nice and low, might even get lower. Some small margin on that, maybe take it up to 7%, and then a convertible option for the fund where we can convert that particular funding into equity. You do need to have equity for the risk that you outline. And I think the difference between this and the price that debt has to charge, debt doesn't come to the party. Debt pays for the food, but it never eats the dinner. And to make the whole equation of risk and return balance, you have to be, in part, at least an equity player.
Yeah.
Our challenge will be to get them through the filter, which is a technology-based capability, which is, you know, 4AX debt services. And then when they're there, to try and assess at what point in time you want to convert a portion of that into pure equity and take the ride further from there.
Looking at that equity, is the amount of equity dependent on the kind of risk you're taking on?
No, absolutely. And the growth profile.
Yeah.
You know, amongst all of these SMEs, I'm sure we're going to find ourselves a couple of, you know, Facebooks and Alibabas and the like. And so where you see an extraordinary need, demand-driven lead for growth, you're going to start forgetting about debt and start capitalizing more of your exposure to the entity, so that the very debt that it, the very funding that it got, is not holding it back because of the high cost of servicing the debt. Those are the sorts of entities, when we discover them, where we will convert into equity a lot earlier and a lot more to enable them to grow.
What this fund does, Mark, is inadvertently highlight the deficit that exists in South Africa's financial system that need to clearly be plugged to grow this economy. Do you see COVID-19 changing the scenario quite drastically? Because, you know, every man and his dog now seems to have a fund aiming to do just this.
Well, I haven't met all the other men and dogs that are involved, But I think that there's a significant difference in what we're talking about here. COVID-19 has an impact on these businesses, but I would venture an opinion which says that COVID-19, employment aside for the time being, has actually trimmed a whole lot of businesses down to their most efficient economic models. And so our point of entry, if our point of entry, by the way, we only started to pay out money in about the 15th of September, our point of entry could probably be not better chosen than that. So I think COVID actually can turn itself into an opportunity here.
Yeah, of course.
And I've got to mention something else, sorry, yeah, if you don't mind, Alicia, is that we don't think it's only about the money. I mean, one of the things that we've got is what we call the SME marketplace. Mm-hmm. So we've got partners in the form of Arena, which owns the various publications that are involved in this thing. So we've got an extraordinary footprint and spread as a result of a media partner. We've got 4AX Exchange, which is a license exchange. We've got inside that 4AX Debt Services, which is a debt servicing model. But the real trick is this. Once we have a portfolio of SME companies, we are going to look to give them mentoring. We're going to look to get them together and price access to things like business utilities, legal advice, administration, and a e-commerce-driven marketplace through an app where they will buy things from one another. We want to create almost a sub-economy, which translates into the sort of economies of scale and the sort of purchasing power and the sort of ability to contract long-term that these small companies just don't have access to at the moment.
Because these are funders that have a skin in the game, Mark, and they're going to want to reap a return on investment at the end of the day. Do you see this fund proving sustainable beyond COVID-19 and, you know, growing this economy even further, where, of course, there are stiff structural deficits that need to be dealt with very, very quickly?
Yes, I mean, this we didn't design this fund driven by COVID. COVID is just a big influence on the timing of the fund. But we're looking to find money that in established capital that moves away from what I might argue are the marginal incremental returns of established capital. You know, fairly, you know, if you only can invest in bonds and listed equities, those are priced efficiently in the market. The opportunity lies below that, the growth opportunity. And to get into those companies at the right price and fund their growth, that's where we want to go. So, I mean, we absolutely think that it is in the country's best interest and in established best businesses' best interest to take some of the circulating capital, which is at the top of the capital pyramid, and start deploying it in the real economy, where banks, for some reason, don't see to go, and where the equity alone is too expensive. It's the blend of that capital and the surrounding SME marketplace that I think is going to take us into a place of discovery of these lovely assets. And even the biggest capital allocators in the country don't have the time or the people to go out there and find them. We're going to draw them in and create a new asset class.
Let's leave it there. Mark, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Mark Barnes is, of course, chair of the KISB Fund.